SBS हिंदी।
दोस्तों, मैं इस वक्त SBS हिंदी के स्टूडियो में हूं और मेरे सामने एक बहुत ही खास शख्सियत बैठे हैं जिनका नाम है टोनी जोसेफ। वो पत्रकार हैं, लेखक हैं और ऑस्ट्रेलिया में हैं। जयपुर लिटरेचर फेस्टिवल का जो श्रृंखला हो रही है एडिलेड में, उसमें हिस्सा लेने के लिए अपनी किताब अर्ली इंडियंस के साथ। टोनी जोसेफ, आपका बहुत बहुत स्वागत है।
थैंक यू वेरी मच विवेक, आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू बी हियर।
आपकी किताब अर्ली इंडियंस पर बहुत चर्चा हो रही है और इसने बहुत सारे मिथ्स को बदलने की, तोड़ने की भी कोशिश की है, तो पहले ज़रा संक्षेप में बताइए कि आपकी किताब किस बारे में है।
My book is about, sorry for speaking in English, I wish I could speak, talk to you back in Hindi, but hopefully at some point in the future I will do that. But my book is about the formation of the Indian population, how Indian populations, when you say Indian, I mean it in the old sense of the term, which covers all of South Asia, not just the part of the, that we today call India. So it looks at how this population of this region formed. Mm-hmm. And this is not a question that could have been answered even 6 years ago, because we did not have the concrete information that we have today. And that information we have today, not just about South Asia, but about almost all populations of the world. And that is because there is now a somewhat new discipline called population genetics, which has acquired a new ability, which is to extract DNA from people who lived thousands or even tens of thousands of years ago and extract it and analyze it to understand who were they related to, where did they move from where to where. And because of this, now we know over what periods of time, what population movements happened in ancient prehistory, thousands and tens of thousands of years ago, and how the world's populations formed. And I have used evidence not just from population genetics, but also from the existing knowledge that we have from the latest research in archaeology, philology, epigraphy, linguistics, to put it all together to give a comprehensive picture of who we are and where we come from.
So what new do we know about so-called Aryan invasion? Was India invaded by Aryans or not?
There is no suggestion. There is no evidence of an invasion. But we have evidence that there was a migration of people from the Central Asian steppe, from regions that are today known as Kazakhstan, into South Asia and related regions around 4,000 years ago. And they are the likely carriers of Indo-European languages into India. That Indo-European languages are spoken by about 40% of the people in the world today, and about 4/5 of the Indians today, which is from Hindi to Marathi to Gujarati to Bengali. These are all Indo-European languages. Across the world, Indo-European languages would include Persian, English, French, Russian, German, the whole range. So we now know that there was a migration from this steppe into India between 4,000 to 3,500 years ago, which brought these languages.
That means after Harappan civilization.
Right. That's right. So the earlier theories of Aryan invasion that finished off the Harappan civilization do not stand up to evidence, do not stand up to scrutiny now. And no responsible historian in recent decades has ever talked about Aryan invasion. What we are discussing is Aryan migration, which happened after the Harappan civilization. The Harappan civilization existed in its mature form from 2600 BCE to around 1900 BCE. And that was the largest civilization of its time. As large as Egyptian and Mesopotamian civilizations put together in terms of area and in terms of number of people. So that existed before the Arya came in.
Where does Sanskrit stand in this whole scenario?
4/5 of the Indians speak a Indo-European language. Most of the rest speak a language belonging to the Dravidian language family, around 20% of the population. Now, Sanskrit is the oldest of the Indo-European languages in India. It's also, since Sanskrit is used in a small a number and is still known by a large number of people, you could say it is the oldest surviving Indo-European language too. When you say people who came, the Arya who arrived in India around 4,000 years ago, we could say that they brought with them a language that could have been an earlier version or a previous version of Sanskrit or a related language.
Okay.
The languages keep changing and evolving over time.
This caste system thing,
yeah.
Where does this come from then? Was it there during the Harappan civilization also, or it comes with Aryans?
Good question. And I think the good thing is that we do have a clear answer to this now.
Okay.
Until now, the supposition, the assumption has been that the caste system in India, most people assumed that the caste system in India started with the arrival of the Arya. Now we know that is not true. Arya arrived in India around 4,000 years ago, as we discussed. Now we know, based on genetic evidence from research papers that have been published, that until the beginning of the Common Era, that's about 100 CE, there was significant mixing that used to happen between the various population groups in India. But around 100 CE, that stopped. The mixing stopped, and people started, what the research says, as people started marrying within their own communities.
Mm-hmm.
Endogamy, the technical term for that is endogamy, people marrying within their own communities. And we know that endogamy is a distinguishing feature of the caste system. So if you say, when did caste system begin? Now we have a clear answer. It is around 100 CE. And is that when the Arya came? No. Arya came almost 2,000 years earlier. So therefore, it is incorrect to say that the caste system began with the arrival of the Arya. It began as a large-scale social reality.
Mm-hmm.
It began around 2,000 years after they arrived.
Coming back to your book,
yeah,
Tony Joseph, it was praised a lot, yeah, but it was equally criticized.
Yeah.
So which criticism did you like the most?
Is there any criticism that I liked? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I can't really pinpoint. There's something else that I would want to say. It is that the criticism, most of the critics haven't understood what the book is actually saying. They say the book is divisive. Actually, the opposite is true. Why is that? The book is actually, what it sends is a very significantly unifying message. I will prove. First of all Indians, almost all population groups, no matter where in the caste hierarchy you are, no matter what language you speak,
mm-hmm,
no matter what region you inhabit, if you are a South Asian population group, then your most dominant ancestry is that of the first Indians who arrived here as out of Africa migrants around 65,000 years ago. This is something we know now. There cannot be a more unifying message than to say that most of our ancestry we share with that of the first. This is revolutionary because most of the rest of the population, for example, has looked at the tribals, for instance, as someone very, very different from them. A totally different community has nothing to do with it. When what do the recent research say? They say the rest of the Indian population has no closer relatives anywhere in the world,
mm-hmm,
than the tribals. What is the second finding? The second finding says that the Harappans, when their civilization declined, spread all over North India and South India. So today we can say the Harappans are the ancestors of both North Indians and South Indians.
Mm-hmm.
So we are both, and all Indians are inheritors of the tradition of the Harappa. And they are the glue that holds India together, because when they spread the culture and the practices that they brewed in the crucible of the Harappan civilization is what spread. And we can see what those are. For example, why do Indians build their houses around courtyards? Because that's how Harappans used to build their houses. Why do we consider the peepal tree, the sacred fig tree, sacred? Because you can see in the images that the peepal tree is a sacred figure. You can see people bowing before deities within the peepal tree.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we play? You know, why is chess and all the board games so popular? Because the Harappans used to play them. So I'm saying that the connections with the Harappan civilization, and so that's the glue that holds us together. That's not a divisive message. That's a unifying message. So where does this suggestion, this accusation that this is a divisive message comes from? It comes from the fact that the findings also say that the Arya Sanskrit Vedic culture is not the foundational source of Indian civilization.
Mm.
It is a very important component of the Indian civilization. It has shaped us in many, many, many important ways, but it is not the foundational or the only important source of Indian civilization. For that, you have to look at the Harappan civilization.
Mm.
So it is divisive only if you say that one particular culture has to be seen us dominant and superior to others. If you say we are a multicultural civilization, we are a multi-source civilization, not a uni-source one, it's a very highly unifying message, because it takes away all reasoning for a hierarchical thinking, whether in terms of the caste system or in terms of languages or in terms of cultures, and say we are all together and we all have many things that are common that tie us together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, despite all the criticism, and thank you so much for broadening our understanding regarding our history, our existence, and wish you all the best for the book.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
आपके विचार हमें बताएं। SBS हिंदी को फेसबुक पर लाइक करें और @SBS हिंदी को ट्विटर पर फॉलो करें।